Hello again, tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. We're right in the middle of a series of messages on the grace of God. And last week we spoke about grace robbers, not grave robbers, grace robbers. People who will rob your grace or your belief and understanding of the great and wonderful grace of God. Yeah, I introduced you to a group of people we call grace robbers. And they're people who, well, they say they're Christians, but they're always adding to the finished work of the Lord Jesus. And just to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, we told you about the two doctors. Dr. Law, yes, and Dr. Grace. And each one of them had a different theory as to how to get us spiritually healthy. Now, just to remind you, Dr. Law, for example, patients went to him about the question of salvation. Now, of course, this is a little story, okay? This is only a story. And they wanted to know about salvation. And Dr. Law, he glared at them and said, "God does his part and you do yours." Well, that sounds sensible, doesn't it? Come on, that sounds sensible. But those who followed his prescription, well, they were left in doubt as to whether or not they had done enough. If I have to do a part, maybe I haven't done enough. So these people went along to see Dr. Grace. And Dr. Grace said, "You can't do anything. Did you hear me? You can't do anything. And you don't do anything to gain salvation." So back they go to Dr. Law, and when Dr. Law hears about Dr. Grace's diagnosis, Dr. Law stiffens and he glares at them, and quick as a flash he says, "In Acts 16:31, the Philippian jailer asked, 'What must I do?'" Did you hear that? "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul's answer was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you shall be saved." So, there you have it, sirs, says Dr. Law. It's as plain as the nose on your face. The scripture tells you to do something. It tells you to believe, and believing is doing. So, back they go to Dr. Grace, and Dr. Grace smiles and calmly says, "Believing is not doing. Believing is simply receiving, trusting, resting. There's no effort on your part. There can be no effort on your part because God has already accomplished salvation at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And when you believe, you are merely receiving that which has already been done for you. Oh, there's no work required on your part." So then they go back to Dr. Law. Dr. Law has a serious face as he chokes his chin, strokes it, and he listens and then declares, "Oh, what nonsense is this? It stands to reason that a man must do something to close the gap between himself and God. Don't listen to that Grace fella. He'll go as far as to tell you that salvation is spelt with five letters. J-E-S-U-S. Well, the distraught listeners go back to Dr. Grace and report on what Dr. Law has said. And Dr. Grace smiles and says, "Yes, indeed. Jesus is the summation and center of the gospel. He is the center of salvation. And furthermore, there are basically two ways to spell salvation. The first one is D-O, do. That's the way Dr. Law spells it. His followers believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, but they still think that they have to do something else. There's something more for them to do to be saved. They feel they must add some form of sincere good works to the equation. Well, this is the very opposite of salvation by grace. It sounds logical, but it's not grace." Then Dr. Grace continues, "The other way to spell salvation is D-O-N-E, done. J Jesus has completed the work of salvation. It is finished. Rest on him. Rest on his accomplishments. Trust on him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive what he has done. Well, this satisfies the patience, and after that, they rest in the accomplishments of their Savior. Oh, Dr. Law, he still tries to influence them, and maybe once or twice he does influence them, but they quickly come back to what Dr. Gray said, and Dr. Law does not succeed. Now, for the sake of discussion, if you think you've already done 99.9% of what is necessary for you to be saved, and now it's up to you to do the remaining 0.1%, hey, you still don't understand grace. You are a legalist. I'm sorry, but that's what it is. If you tell your scheme to others and they believe you, you're telling lies about Jesus. If you're saying you have to do something else apart from receive what has been done, you're lying about Jesus. Some of the most significant and lethal grace robbers I've met are those that I call the list people. I've mentioned them before, and I've written about them in the Wednesday Word. But these are people, the list people, they're constantly, continually trying to improve their standing before God by doing things. Now, if this describes you, I hate to tell you, but you are a legalist. You are being robbed of grace. Now, one of the ways to recognize a legalist is this, that he is the one whose list of rules is more protracted than God's list. That may explain. Many Christians embrace the idea of grace for salvation, but then they fall into the trap of thinking that after they become Christians, there's a list left for them to complete to keep salvation in effect. This is grace robbers thinking. Grace robber thinking. Here's the kind of thing these grace robbers say. They say, oh, if we obey God, we'll earn more of his love. Like the original Judaizers, these grace robbers don't tell us that we need to be circumcised. Instead, they say, if you want God to really favor you and continue favoring you with his smile, you must give. Give your finances. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Oh my. There but for the grace of God goes God. Now, here's where we need to be established in the gospel. Giving money to the work of the gospel is great. It's wonderful. I wish more people did it. Reading the Bible, that's super. I mean, I read the other day of Old Moody, who said about the Bible, this Bible, lack of reading it will lead to sin. And when you do read it, it'll make you walk away from sin. That's a paraphrase. He said it more succinctly than I did. But this is where we need to be established in the gospel. Yes, give. Yes, pray. Yes, read your Bible. Excellent, excellent, commendable activities. But they will not increase. Did you hear me? They will not increase the full favor of God, which we already have in Jesus Christ. God doesn't say to us, I'll give you my grace, but in return, you have to worship me. No, grace is unconditional. Yahweh is the God of grace without conditions. Grace doesn't put us into debt to God. Instead, it clears our debt. Grace is free. It doesn't come with attached stipulations. Grace is both unsought and unbought by us. Grace is given without a cost to us and without any cause in us. Grace always remains unearned and undeserved on our part. Otherwise, it would not be grace. If we have to do something to continue to receive grace, it's not grace. Someone asked old Charles Spurgeon, you know, I love that preacher from the 1800s, English preacher. He said, why do you say free grace and not merely grace? This is what they asked Spurgeon. Spurgeon replied, he says, I do so to make assuredly doubly sure. We will always call it not only grace, but free grace, to make it clear that God gives his grace freely to sinners. The undeserving and ungodly, he gives freely to them. He gives without any condition. If in one place he says that he requires repentance, in another place he promises to give repentance. If he demands faith at one moment, he bestows it at another. So grace is always God's free gift. And that suits a man who has not a penny in his pocket. Oh, thank you, Brother Charles. I understand the legalist position very well because I used to be one. Hello? Yeah, me. I used to be one. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa. Maxima, mea maxima culpa. I'm like many gospel ministers. We're a bunch of recovering legalists. Although I believed and preached that we were saved by grace alone, I also taught that to enjoy the continued favor of God, we had to look to our own performance. Our performance, we had to perform. There were things that we had to do to gain God's updated favor. Yes, we had his favor at the cross, but now we have to continue earning his favor. So I fasted twice a week, yeah. And every day I got up at 4, every day 4 a.m., for prayer and Bible study. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with such activity. But here's where it was wrong. I thought that by doing these things, I was maintaining the flow of God's love and blessing into my life. And that was a terrible error. Also, I felt that if I wanted to keep the smile of heaven upon me, I had to continually get out there and witness to the unsaved. If I wasn't doing all those things, I felt I was disappointing God. And thus I kept myself and others in grievous and inglorious bondage. But here's the truth, the gospel truth. If we believers already have the entire favor of God, not because of any works that we have done or are doing, but if we have the full favor of God, it's because of Christ and his works. Do you believe that? It's through Christ, because of Christ and his works. We are in him. We are not accepted by our own righteousness, which comes by fulfilling lists and rules and regulations. We are in him. We have therefore Christ's entire righteousness credited and reckoned to us. Hey, see Philippians 3:9. So what about works, Brother Miles? Yes, indeed, what about them? As Christ believers, we want to obey God because we know and enjoy his gracious love. By the way, if we think that grace means we can sin all we want, we've turned grace into what has been nicknamed greasy grace. The more we understand of grace, however, the more we desire to follow the Lord Jesus. Yeah, we'll get up and pray. Yeah, we'll read our Bible. We'll study our Bible. Not to get his favor, but because we've already got it, we'll witness to people. Because we're saved, not to gain anything. The difference between obedience and legalism and obedience is in grace is in the motive for our obedience. If we obey God with the belief that it will improve our standing with God or that he will love us less, if we don't, then we are encountering a grace robbery. You have become a grace robber if you say that. But if we obey God, in response to being deeply loved and warmly welcomed, then we're standing in grace and enjoying being saved. Grace believers don't read their Bibles and pray and witness because they feel they are obliged to. They do these things because they want to. They don't try to share the gospel with people because they feel like they have to. They do it because God has empowered them to want to share. And that's grace, and we are living in it, and that's the gospel truth. Thank you for being with us here on the podcast. If this has been helpful, send it on to your friends. Send it on to your friends. Hey, we put out the Wednesday Word every week. If you want to subscribe, it's free. Just email me, miles@milesmckee.com. And books like Grace, Living in Grace. They're all available. My books, I've written them, a bunch of books, along gospel subjects. They're available on Amazon. So I hope you have time to go and look at them and get some of them. Okay, that's the gospel truth. We'll, God willing, talk to you next time.